Hey friends, welcome to Something Borrowed Season 2 Episode 4 with the fantastic Isabel. Most of you will not notice this, but for those of you frantically refreshing your podcast apps, this episode is a day late because I ran a marathon yesterday as part of the Amos Trust Run the Wall campaign. I've mentioned it on previous episodes, and my first poem is very much because of that. So in the links at the bottom and at the end, I will mention again, there is a chance to sponsor me or just find out more about it. Amos Trust do amazing things. But before then, it gives me great pleasure to introduce this episode with Izzy Brooks, a fantastic friend of mine who has recently started releasing music as Isabel. We get a couple of poems as well. We share our love of fellow poet and friend Zia Ahmed, and we talk about blue skies, we talk about looking forward to whatever's next, and just the power that poetry can have to change your opinions and feelings on things. I really, really love getting to catch up with Izzy. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did, and I'll be back at the end to say hello once more. Goodbye.
Something borrowed by Harry Baker to all of my friends who are watching right now. Thank you so much for being here. I'm in a good mood, and you can't guarantee that these days.
Tell yourself the first 5 miles don't really count. By the time you get to 6, stay focused on each checkpoint as they come. 6.214 miles and you've made it to 10K. 6.219 and it's officially 20 miles to go. 6.555 and you're a quarter of the way. At times when things might feel impossible, just stick to what you know. There is a water station up ahead. You are almost at mile 7, which is just a half marathon away from mile 20, and it's only another 6 and a bit until you're allowed to stop. Get to 7.5 miles and there's only 30k remaining. At 8 miles, make a joke to yourself about M&M. Soon you will have made it to 13 kilometers. That means that if kilometers are miles, you'd be pretty much at the halfway point already. This means the real halfway point is just 1.6 times your current distance, meaning you are 5/8 of the way there, meaning you are 5/16 of the way to the total distance. Tell yourself not to dwell on the fact that 5/16 does not feel like very much. Instead, concentrate on the giant carrot that has just overtaken you. Challenge yourself to keep it within eyesight for the next half a mile. This will take you to the 8.73 mile mark. This is approximately 1/3 of the distance. This means once you do this distance again, it would just be this distance till the end, and you know you can do this distance because you have just done it. Plus, 1/3 feels way bigger than 5/16. Once you get to 10 miles, you will have made it to double figures. By 10.488, you will have made it to 2/5. Reminisce on how 2/5 sounds like the word toothpicks if it was said with a mouthful of toothpicks where your tooth is.
Toothpicks. Toothpicks.
You'd be amazed at how much distance you can travel whilst you do this. Soon it's 42% of 42 kilometers, and it is literally anything you can think of to make it to halfway. Once you step past this point, it would technically be further for you to turn around and run back to the start, so you may as well just keep on going. Notice how the 15-mile banner looks like the words "I smile," how I'm way too tired to smile, but I do smile. They say smiles is the longest word in the English language because there is a mile between the two S's. They have clearly not come across the word schmarathons, as in marathons, schmarathons, as in something I used to say before I attempted a marathon. Not only do smarathons have a full marathon between the S's, there is also a rogue H that someone got lost along the way. Today, I am that H. By this point, the gaps between milestones seem to stretch a little bigger. By 20 miles, you've technically got to double figures. That is like quadruple figures. That is like 1,000 miles. That is like I have run 500 miles and I have run 500 more. Do anything at this point to not get the proclaimer stuck in your head. And while you're at it, try not to worry about mum. If 24 miles is Christmas Eve, then 25 will feel like Christmas. But 26 is almost more impressive if you don't go the full distance. If you carry on like this, you may just make it to the finish. The important thing is not to overthink it. Thank you very much. So it gives me great joy to have the moment of truth and invite my guest to join me. Oh my God, it's Isabel!
Hi! Have I joined at the right time?
You have joined at the perfect time.
Woo!
Appreciate the background, the framing, the quality.
I'm really sunburnt, so I'm trying to deflect the light from my face. It's kind of working.
Yes.
Yeah. We went for like a 2-hour walk, yes, which is, I guess, it's quite a long time, isn't it? To be, but I just thought it's March. Like,
yeah.
And I wear Factor 50, so I don't know. I literally don't know what's going on. Other than that, all good.
I'm glad to have you. We know each other from Brown House Poetry Collective World. So if we're talking something old, that's where I started getting into poetry. And I think we're 1 year apart. So like first year was the likes of Sean Mahoney, Deanna Roger, Dean Atta, Talia Randall. My year, I had Zia Ahmed, who I think might have joined and be watching. That's me showing off.
He might make an appearance this evening.
Come on. And then
with your year, there was Cecilia, Jack, Jess, Maria. And I think we overlapped because we got a whole summer of doing festivals together. And that was just one of my happy place memories I go to when I get sad that festivals haven't been a thing for a while.
We felt like rock stars.
Yeah.
I've never been that hot up there since, really.
We got free tickets to go to music festivals. We save money by eating ravioli and sort of wrapping for chips.
Chips and dip.
We didn't need anything else. It was the glory days.
Good times, I know. Well, fingers crossed this summer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe.
Would you be up for sharing something old?
Yeah. I mean, I've done it in a bit of a strange way because I just want to introduce my keyboard.
Yes.
This is my keyboard, and my keyboard, like, I don't play piano, but I make music. And last year in lockdown, when everything kicked off, obviously everyone was on the kind of like bandwagon of learning a language or doing something. And I was like, I'm going to buy a keyboard. So I bought this keyboard, and someone hooked me up with their friend who's like an amazing jazz musician, but he teaches on the side as well. So I had this summer doing these Zoom lessons with him. And at the beginning, I think it started out like, I want to do this really seriously. Like I was doing scales. I was living with Cecilia at the time and she could hear like, well, when the saints go marching in through the walls. And then there came a turning point where I was like, I don't know if I really want to learn how to play the piano properly. I just want to accompany myself singing 80s Latin pop songs. So I broke this to Jez on the Zoom and he was like, I'm your man. Tell me what you want to learn.
Yes.
And so we started with Genie in a Bottle, which is a great, great place to start.
Come on.
I know. And then we went to Dire Straits' Walk of Life. That was a dream come true moment. Like that kind of vibe. I wrote Cecilia in actually. And then recently I've been playing around and I think I found it's a really lovely way to look at lyrics that maybe might have been overlooked before and stuff. Yeah. So this is my something old. It's not mine, but it's my rendition of it. So if you know it, sing along.
There's a loving in your eyes all the way. If I listen to your eyes, would you say I'm a man without conviction? When we think our love.
That I moved house in lockdown last year, and I'd had this keyboard like a month, and I moved to a new flat and I dropped the whole thing. So the sound doesn't work on it. I have to have like a weight on the volume button. But it's right.
That was perfect. I am glowing. Thank you so much. I was tempted to join in, and then I, one, remembered that the timing might be bad because of the internet, and then two, remembered the tune might be bad because of my lack of being able to sing in tune. But thank you so much. I bought a keytar in lockdown.
Mm.
For a sort of similar thing, I was like, I'm going to learn it. This is going to be great. I did like electronic keyboard as a teenager and was already loving that it was different from learning piano, because it meant that you basically press play on the backing track. And instead of having to do the accompaniment, I was like pretending I was
doing like a main stage DJ set.
And so instead of like a gentle diminuendo, it was just me turning the volume down a little bit at a time whilst trying to play the James Bond theme with my right hand. So living my best life.
Absolutely.
But the most of an outing my guitar got was I did a Christmas quiz, and it was me trying to play like hit songs from the year, and people had to guess what they were. But what made it a good quiz round is that I didn't learn them very well at all. And so it's quite
difficult.
Guessing game.
So I don't think anyone got a fair few of them, but I had a wonderful time. And so I completely endorse sort of
getting into it via...
We've got
it in
the studio, sounds like.
Yes. Come on.
Incredible. Thank you so much. That makes me so happy. So you mentioned moving during lockdown. I had the joy of just seeing you out of nowhere in Margate, and at a time when like you've not seen anyone you know for ages.
Yeah. Sort of
remembering like how to act around people. So I hope I wasn't...
Hi!
Exactly. Hey, a face. I know. So that was wonderful. And so my something new is based on swimming, which has been my like Margate savior. And I wrote it for a radio show around Christmas that was kind of reflecting on how people have got through things. And it is called Wild. And it's just me loving swimming and thinking that's enough to write a poem about. I've never regretted going for a swim, even on the days I have almost taught myself out of it. When the warm duvet clings to me like seaweed, when on the way the wind whispers it's not too late to turn back, when I'm stood on the edge and shivering before I've even begun. Deep breath, feet clench, and yet the second I am in, it is all worth it. Okay, 5 seconds after I am in, it is all worth it. Somehow every single time it still surprises me how cold it is. My technique is less Wim Hof, more grunt like warthog, flail limbs underwater till things begin to warm up. When the cold hits you, it becomes impossible to think about anything else. And this year of all years, that's not nothing. Jesse is my swim buddy. We both went every day through lockdown 2. We've carried on in tier 3, even more in tier 4. At least they can't shut down the sea. Jesse is hardcore. I mean, like proper puts her face in, like casually brings up doing a 5K race in conversation. Barista trained, she brings a thermos and spare mug for coffee after. It is honestly the greatest thing I've ever tasted. I love how much I do not need to be the best at this. Every day they factor in at all is an achievement, and this year of all years, that is not nothing. Whether it's wetsuit with the hands and feet, or swimsuit with a beanie hat, a full on that, a there and back, often not even that. The code word is stiff chewing gum, because that is the texture that your muscles feel when it is time for you to get out. Even in winter, we've met fellow swimmers every time we've gone, exchange a brief hello and, ooh, it's cold, or simply just the nod. Realize how much this year we've bonded through a shared sense of complaining, whereas here the default setting becomes, isn't life amazing? Whether grimacing or grinning, you can see it in our eyes. Skin is pink and we are thinking, what a time to be alive. A dog walker on the way home chuckles, rather you than me. I can't help smiling to myself and think, I rather do agree. And as the feeling teases back into my fingers, stood in the shower, potato waffles heating up in the oven, I am already looking forward to tomorrow. And this year, of all years, that is not nothing.
Oh man, I'm missing that Margate tidal pool so bad. Yeah, it was such a saviour. I don't know if I told you though, there was a time when, I think it was like October, November, when it was proper turning cold. And I went with my mate Molly, who lives down there, and we like just hadn't Zoomed each other or hadn't really caught up for ages. So we lost track of time and we were in there for 45 minutes, like just chatting. But when we got out, we were like, my jaw was like gurning. It was so bad. So you have to be careful, but you have all the gear. You say it's all about the recovery.
Well, this time of year is confusing because it's getting warmer, but the water is kind of as cold as it gets. So I'm there on my way down with the sun shining. Like I went in today and I was like, this is amazing. It's basically spring, only way is up. And then got in and like you say, I stayed in for longer than I have been doing. And just on the way home, I just couldn't stop shaking.
I took it.
Had a little sort of thermos with some like hot peach squash in it, living my best life. And then I'm shaking so much, I'm just sort of spilling it on my own hands. I thought by now I'd have quite a kind of slick post-swim routine, but it's really just a sense of how quickly can you get from there into your own sort of home in a dressing gown and just recover.
Are you still going in without a wetsuit?
No.
Because you, I remember bumping into you and you're like, I've just seen this documentary.
Oh, my goodness.
Octopus guy in South Africa and like, he just doesn't use a wetsuit. And I was like, okay,
so,
it's getting cold.
The line that got me was, I don't want a barrier between me and nature. And I thought, yes, Octopus Man, I need to embody that spirit. And did it for like about a month. And then I was thinking, it's quite good to have a barrier between you and the, like a very specific neoprene barrier that keeps you warm. So
yeah,
I'm back in full wetsuit mode. Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Brighton. So I'm like by another coast, which is amazing. I mean, yeah, we don't have the tidal pool. I have been in down here, but it's a bit scarier, I think, as well. Like, you don't know where it dips and stuff. So there was one particular day a couple of weeks ago where I was like, you need to get in the sea right now. You know, when you're just like, I'm in a terrible mood and something needs to shift. And it does instantly, like, so good for your mind.
That's what I found. Even on the days when like nothing else feels possible, if I've got in, I think, oh yeah, it's good to sort of remind myself that there's things that can exhilarate you.
Totally. Yeah. It's always there as well, isn't it? It's free as well. The sea is free.
Long may that continue.
Well, let's see how long that is gonna be the case.
So speaking of something new, how did you go from learning kind of 80s 90s pop covers to releasing your single, which I love, and I feel very excited that I got a link to listen to the EP, and I'd love it so much. I cannot tell you how happy it makes me. Just, yeah, it's so brilliant.
Appreciate. Yeah, it's really cool. Like, I've been working in the studio with a producer called Russ Chimes for like a couple of years, and it's mad actually, because now I have this keyboard. Before, I worked out that I would be like basically working out melodies and having to remember them, and I'd go into the studio and be like, da, na, 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 like, and he would just be like, okay. But now I can figure out songs and stuff. So although it started as just this kind of homage to like wanting to play Dire Straits on a Tuesday afternoon, it's definitely helped my songwriting. And yeah, like I went through some stuff last year, and for the first time in my life, I've been able to be like, well, channel this and get a full-on song from it. So yeah, like we're putting out an EP in like a month, and there's a single Bonita that came out last month and another single coming out next week. But I'm super pumped to be like writing new stuff, and just having like this to play around with is just really, really useful. So yeah, my Something New is like a new idea that I played around with, and I guess it's the first one that I've ever figured out on the piano on my own, so...
Amazing. I've not got to the stage of being able to like get what's in my head onto. So basically I do stuff with my friend Chris, and I just sort of,
yeah, of course,
sing him things badly, and then he makes it work. So really, really handy for me. But I do know what you mean, that suddenly some words feel for me like they don't work as a poem or for whatever reason. Yeah. And then suddenly with music, whether that's with a melody or just for me rapping it over a kind of rhythm, it has a completely different feel to it. So
yeah, it definitely transports it somewhere else. And like also, I guess I was reliant before on I'd have to find the melody because I'd have to remember it. Whereas now I'm like, well, that doesn't work. So let's shift this up. So yeah, it's definitely more dynamic.
Yeah, I would always have that. I just couldn't sort of remember it. So I'd have like the equivalent of when I like scribble things in the night and think, oh, I'll just remember this because I've had the best idea ever, but I'll just get it down before I go to sleep.
It's the worst, isn't it? You're like, this is so good. It's not leaving this brain. It's just going to cut. I'm going to remember it, and then you forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. My Something Borrowed is... Well, so I'm doing this marathon at the weekend fundraising for the Amos Trust, but they specifically do a lot of work in Palestine. And I got to run a marathon there a few years ago. And this weekend is when they would normally do it, but they can't because everyone's doing stuff kind of in their own places. And one of the things is around Bethlehem, there's this separation wall. So there isn't the distance to run a full marathon. So you basically have to do a half marathon twice. And it's called the Right to Movement. So it's them celebrating the freedom that they do have. Mm-hmm. But I think when I went there, that the sense of welcome and the sense of home and hospitality was warmer than anywhere else I've ever been. And I think for me, one of the things in Lockdown has been not being able to travel, which on one level I do miss it and I'm really excited to be gigging again. But also it's the most rooted I've ever been in a place, for, you know, since I was at school. So actually having, you know, I've been in Margate, I think 3 years now, but having a whole sense of time where I'm not going anywhere and I know that, it has made it start to feel more like home. And so this poem is by a Palestinian poet called Mahmoud Darwish, and he writes a lot about home, and that for him is an act of celebration and protest. And I just think this one's stunning. And so it's about Palestine, but it's also about home. And it goes like this. We have on this land all that which makes life worth living. April's hesitation, the aroma of bread at dawn, a woman's beseeching of men, the writings of Icyclus, love's beginning, moss on a stone, mothers standing on a flute's thread, and the invader's fear of memories. We have on this land that which makes life worth living. September's end, a woman leaving 40 behind, with all of her apricots, the hour of sunlight in prison, a cloud reflecting a swarm of creatures, a people's applause for those who face their own erasure with a smile, and the tyrant's fear of songs. We have on this land all that makes life worth living. On this land, the lady of our land, the mother of all beginnings and the mother of all ends. She was called Palestine. Her name later became Palestine. My mother, because you are my mother, I have all of that which makes life worth living. And that's from, well, there's a book of poems that Amos Truss put together that's called Seeds of Hope. And there's so much in them that's brilliant. But I kind of, for someone who is a poet, I've not always been good at reading poetry. And partly doing this really helps me, because I think every week I want to find something new.
For sure.
But I think, again, performing less and putting out less, I feel like I've been able to take in more. And so that's one of the things I've loved, is reading more. And I think especially things that aren't anything like what I would write, I appreciate more, because I just think I can't do that.
Are you have you found as well that you're reading, like with Margate last year, I was reading outside all the time, and I think that changed exactly like how I was taking it in as well.
I'm not quite there this side of winter. Like, as soon as it's sunny, I want to be out there in like shorts and t-shirt. And so the current mood I've got is kind of woolly hat and sunglasses, which I think is a strong look, but it's just a reminder that like there's sun, but it's still not possible.
You wouldn't know. Looking at my face, you'd think it's August. Like,
well, I'm impressed. I feel like Brighton's the place to be.
Gosh.
And is Brighton home for you?
I mean, like, I've had to, in that kind of way, like, obviously there's been a huge focus on home, hasn't there, like this whole year for everybody, and I think for lots of other people that's been a lot more difficult than others. So I've been really lucky. I've moved around quite a bit more than I would have liked to, but I lived on my own in Margate as well, and that was something new. And that was suddenly like, wow, this is you and with yourself. But I think that's why I got a lot of comfort from the sea and the outside, because I needed it. But yeah, I'm in Brighton at the moment. And again, it's just so nice to be near the sea.
Would you be up for doing something borrowed?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to poetry now, because that's where I guess like my creativity started at the Roundhouse, like you said. And this is a poem that I read last year, actually, with the current Roundhouse Poetry Collective that Cecilia and Bridget were teaching on. And I think everyone was sharing some work that they liked. And I always come back to this poem when I think about what it is that poetry represents, or what it is that art represents. And it's by a poet called Tishani Doshi, an Indian female poet, and it's called Find the Poets. And I'll let it speak for itself. Disclaimer, I do always get a bit teary sometimes. I arrived in a foreign land yesterday, a land that has seen troubles. Who hasn't, you might say? This land with its scrubbed white houses and blue seas, where everything was born and now everything seems as if it could vanish. I wanted to find out the truth about how a great land like this could allow ancient columns to crumble and organ grinders to disappear. Find the poets, my friend said. If you want to know the truth, find the poets. But friend, where do I find the poets? In the Sockle fields, at the short seashore, in the bars drinking. Where do the poets live these days and what do they sing about? I look for them in the streets of Athens, at the flea market and by the train station. I thought one of them might have sold me a pair of sandals, but he did not speak to me of poetry, only of his struggles, of how his house was taken from him, along with his shiny dreams of the future, of all the dangers of his children must now be brave enough to face. Find the poets, my friend said. They will not speak of the things you and I speak about. They will not speak of economic integration or fiscal consolidation. They could not tell you anything about the burden of adjustment, but they could sit you down and tell you how poems are born in silence, and sometimes in moments of great noise, of how they arrive like the rain, unexpectedly cracking open the sky. They will talk of love, of course, as if it were the only thing that mattered, about chestnut trees and mountain tops and how much they missed their dead fathers. They will talk as they have been talking for centuries, about holding the throat of life till all the sunsets and lies are choked out, till only the bones of truth remain. The poets, my friend, are where they have always been, living in paper houses without countries, along rivers and in forests that are disappearing. And while you and I go on with life, remembering and forgetting, the poets remain singing, singing. Super beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. It gets me.
Yeah, quite right. Oh, that, yeah, I mean, that's got me a bit. That's stunning. Mm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Speaking of Find the Poets, I love how many names I recognise popping up. Cecilia is watching, but also Jodie Ann Bickley commented, who I've not seen for so long and who I miss. And so I love that this is sort of a mini way of connecting.
I miss, yeah. I mean, it's so important. Like, this is so cool. Thank you for inviting me. It's made me, yeah, realise how much I've missed the poetry crew, really. Like, it's really tough, like, knowing that we can't just bowl down on a Tuesday to Buxton. Like, it's really hard. But that poem kind of reminds me, actually, that it's the poets, they're here, they're around. We need to listen to them right now, to be honest.
Definitely, definitely. One of my things I'm hopeful for is Brainchild Festival, because if things are able to go ahead, I think that's one of the first places I will see
amazing
people from that kind of poetry world, whether it's, you know, June, July or August. I just think there's something about that. So I'll be finding the poets.
Singing.
When I can. Exactly. Wonderful. I would do something blue, but I think this is a poem I wrote in April 3 years ago. And around this point every year, I have a similar thing where suddenly the days are slightly brighter and I let myself feel some hope and I forget how much my mood is affected by the weather and that kind of thing. Mm. And if I feel like if I just remembered that a bit better, it would make it easier on the darker days. But I think because this year it's somehow aligned with the promise of, well, I mean, for about a year, well, exactly a year, we've been waiting for the promise of things being about to be over. But I think trying to measure the sense of hopefulness with expectations and whatever that means. So it's blue related to kind of blue skies and hope.
Nice.
But yeah, it's called Some Days and it goes like this. Some days there is a lightness when the brilliance of everything around you becomes heightened, when there is more to life than indulging your quarter life crisis and you owe it to yourself to try and put this down in writing. I promise I will never stop trying. Even when it's hard to, I find the prospect far too exciting. We forget the bar we set has a capacity for rising. Where it is left is just the version we have given up revising. So this is HB 2.0.1.5, current draft. The water's running warm, surpassed the bubble bath. When the going gets tough, it's tough to get going. A dialogue, the stuff is hard, but if we come together, there's a chance we might not come apart. Whether or not it's growing on the other half, the grass is always greener when you love the grass. Remind myself when faced with tougher days that there are some that aren't. It might not feel like much, but then again, it rarely does when it's just the start. I've never met a second step as terrifying as the first one. I've never met another person there was not a chance to learn from. The more that we spend time with the uncertain, the more we can apply when we revise our current version, there is a point when unknown becomes home and throws you unaware. When you've been near the table long enough to now pull up a chair, when the place you knew as new asks you if you have cut your hair. You feel the corners of your mouth and soul and notice something's there. Some days there exists a lightness. When it becomes all but impossible to stop the world from glowing. There are still shadows in between as we wish some days into most days. But on those days, I will read myself this poem.
Oh, that's so nice. The grass is always green if you love the grass. So cool. You love it. It was always green.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was really happy with that. And then someone sort of pointed out, it just sounds like I'm talking about weed. They're like, yeah, if you love the grass, which wasn't my intention. But, you know, the joy of a poem is you put it out there and then people take what they want.
That needs to go accompanied by your...
Yes, get the guitar.
Oh, that was cool. Thanks. So nice. Thanks.
Are you up for doing something, Blee?
I am, but I'm going to cheat here because it's not mine.
Yes, absolutely fine.
And actually, similarly to what you said about wanting to write about the blues, but then transforming it into kind of blue skies. Similarly, I've chosen to read Zia Ahmed's recent poem, Drip Crash, because he's obviously a great friend of mine, and this is going to sound like I'm completely fangirling, but I think Zia definitely, a lot of the time for me when I read or hear Zia reading his work, he has that power to change the way I would, he changes how I view things quite quickly. And he has this skill, this ability to kind of flip words on their head. And it's quite powerful, I think. So I was drawn to this poem because it has the word water trickling through it. And already I felt a certain way about water and my relationship with water, but hearing this, it's completely changed it again. So yeah, if you don't know, I'm sure you do know Zia Ahmed by now, but get to know. So this is called Drip Crash. Conversation with God, make the water turn hot. I will go mosque more often, promise, do our ordeal, shiver, cold water, immersion for recovery, prayers for recovery, alhamdulillah, a body of water, bodies in the water, God is in the water, my sins, water loves, water rusts, water my plants for me when I have gone, your daily reminder to drink more water, clouds are just lots of drops of water stuck together, your chest, rise and fall, a breath, I am a cloud, I am a storm, I am about to disappear. When you fall in love, you can't control your landing. Sprained ankles, dislocated heart. Fall, but then make it fashion. Prayer is a fall controlled. Head to the ground and fall. The water has been trying to show us there's more than one way for us to fall. To recover, fall, recover, fall, recover.
Mm. Come on.
I like sat with that for quite a while when I read that. And yeah, without bigging him up too much, I think there's always a poet, isn't there, I guess. For me particularly, when I kind of fell into the poetry world, there was some moments when you'd see a particular poet perform and you'd be like, cool, well, this is something I've never experienced before. And it's changed my view. It's changed the way that I view the world. And that's, I think, what poetry does.
Yeah, definitely. Without picking Sir up too much, he's just the best.
It's good. He's going to be like, yo, calm down. Chill out.
Amazing. Thank you so much
thanks for having me.
One, coming on, but also sharing such beautiful things. Where can people find you to listen to your music, new single coming out, everything like that? Where's the best place?
I'm on Spotify under Isabel, Isabel. There are quite a few Isabels in the world, but my single that's released is called Benita. So if you type in Isabel Benita, that'll come up if you fancy listening. And yeah, I'm on Instagram as Isabel London. So yeah, that's me.
Amazing. And I fully recommend it. I was listening again today to sort of get in the mood. So I'm excited for the new single too. But yeah, thank you so much.
And when we can... I can't wait. We're going to elbow.
We will indeed elbow. Thank you so much to Isabel. Thank you to you for listening. Thank you everyone who was on the live chat. There were more poets than usual, which is no bad thing. And I'll be back next week with Inwa Ellams. Very excited about that. I will put links in the description to both Izzy's Instagram and a link to where you can listen to her music on Spotify. Other services are available, as well as I mentioned many times, the Amos Trust. I am on a marathon high, loving life, and so this has been a really lovely thing to be able to do while I rest my legs. I hope you are well wherever you are in this marathon of life, and I'll be back with you next week. Thank you so much for joining me. Bye for now.
Something borrowed by Harry Baker to all of my friends who are watching right now.